Yep.
That's
I
just
mean,
that's too old.
wasn't that like an episode? No, that was in Grown Ups. They did a whole thing about it with where the woman was like still breastfeeding her son at like 7, and when she was asked, he was like, he's 82 months old.
I stopped watching Will Ferrell movies in the Bush administration.
I don't think Grown Ups was a Will Ferrell movie. I think it was Adam Sandler
He was
and
in it.
Chris Rock. Was Will Ferrell in Grown
Will
Ups?
Ferrell 100% in Grown Ups.
Yeah, he
Are
was
you
in it. He
sure?
yeah, he's the like the weird like
Oh,
lives
okay.
on campus. Yeah. So hello, welcome to Unsworn Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Street Day 146. I'm joined by two legends of the community. I would like everyone to know that we are the
Negative.
184th most popular podcast in leisure in Canada. In Canada. So if you are Canadian, I would like you to please download us a little bit more. I would like to get to somewhere around the 113th most popular podcast in leisure. I'm joined by Pete and Val. How are you both?
You
I'm
only need like
fantastic.
six more viewers to
Seriously.
jump that many people. Like, you're
I'm pretty
okay.
sure I'm pretty sure we just learned that Peter doesn't actually subscribe to the podcast because I do. And if Pete did, you would rocket to the top of the chart. Also, I love that somehow my random Googling frontline gaming a year and a half ago has now led to a bragging competition online of who is higher on a chart that we don't know the way it's calculated or whether or not it's a website that's real. It might just be stealing our information from the internet.
Well, there is actually some, and I can send you the links after. There's some actual really cool data you can track, and
Oh yeah.
it tracks popularity not just currently but over time. So you could potentially be at 1.64th, or if you upload on a, on, if you capture the data on the day you uploaded it, so it shoots right up for that particular day, you could really make it look like it's going more your way than you would think. But anyway, that's
Oh, I
my.
know. I don't actually know that. I was just so thrilled that I found on the internet that something that Pete and I are related to was potentially as popular as a podcast normal people have heard of. Also, chat was a little concerned there for a second. They could see my eyes. I have rectified the scenario.
Well, hello everyone in the chat. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you both back. I'm gonna have to ask how you both are. I need a JVP update, and also obviously Pete, I think you've been out of the house recently.
What do you mean?
Didn't you go to work? You left. Like,
I
oh, if you,
yeah,
you,
like
if you've been to work the whole time.
I've been working other than the first 2 weeks of the pandemic. I've been working. Yeah, I
Oh.
work all the time.
Well,
But
not all me.
employed, sir.
I only work at night generally because of COVID. However, this week I am working days. I'm opening the airport for the next week. So.
You don't look for work dressed like this, do you?
Oh
On
yeah.
a weekday?
I'm the only person in that tower. I can dress however I like. I learned that in my orientation when I went in, and a guy came in his pajamas for the night shift, and with and not like nice pajamas. They were like, man, these have seen better days. These were obviously purchased pre-Bush administration for sure.
The correct response, Pete,
Mustard on them.
obviously is weekday. What day is this? And
I'm
then we
sorry.
realized that I was making a Big Lebowski reference the whole time.
Well, I mean, that's a very generic Big Lebowski reference.
What?
This isn't a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. I don't know. I can't help you.
Ram Ranch special.
That's the
Rat Rat Special.
That is the conversation between Lebowski and the Big Lebowski. Come on. It's
Come
iconic.
on.
It's iconic, especially to me.
Come
I
on.
have a question. Well, I've asked you both a question. You continue both telling me how you both are. That's what I'm asking first.
Great. Great. I might have to disappear at any given moment to tend to the young man, but until he determines otherwise, I'm here. It's been wonderful so far. He still continues to be an awesome little guy. And we're loving life. We're having a great time.
Good. Well, that's a positive. How's Mama doing?
Can you kick Grinaldi out of the chat for me? Thanks. Mom is great. She is she's doing wonderful. And I don't produce breast milk. I don't know why. It just never came in. So she's sort of she's on the hook. a lot more. So I just try and support as much as I can.
Okay, good. Well, positives. Good. I don't. Oh no. Somehow Usain Breastmill has activated my Google on my phone. Let's try to.
Okay, breast milk.
Yeah, so now we know what he changed Siri to. That's a weird mod.
Hello, breast milk.
Hey, breast milk.
Search where we are in the podcast rankings, please. I'd also like Falcon. Also, thanks very much for not doing Fireside. I don't know why you didn't, but you didn't do Fireside at the Falcon last night. But you are here today, so I really appreciate being here. Like, because normally you sleep for 3 hours just to be here. So you're a legend.
Yeah, so I got to sleep for 4 hours, which is super. But that was more me. Previously it was because I was doing Fireside and then getting up for this. Last night it was laying in bed thinking, about all the existential dread I have, and then finally falling asleep. So it worked. Just had that like extra hour.
Yeah. When you are lying in bed.
lying in bed. Just like Brian Wilson did.
That's how you don't get demonetized. Mangle the lyrics to the very famous Bare Naked Ladies song. We're doing a lot of great. This is almost, we've done some Clinton era music reference actually today.
Yep. Yeah, we really did. And the chat missed like the first 15 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm. We were listening to Starseed.
Yeah.
By Our Lady. You say any Our Lady Peace fans in the chat?
You'll be my new favorite.
Any non-Canadian Our Lady Peace fans in the chat?
That would be interesting.
I don't know who they are, if that helps either of you two.
Sorry again.
Apparently they only like Terminators.
No. Right. Okay. Right. No, so let me ask you two a question, if that's okay. Because today's show, we've got some 40K to talk
this
about.
This is a there show?
Yeah, there was a show earlier on yesterday. They Games Workshop released some pretty interesting like FAQs, erratas, some points changes, and power level changes. We'd like to talk about it. But my main question is for you guys, because 40K Statcenter came back. I listened, by the way. Great show.
Thank you.
You have one listener. I obviously only listened the one time. Don't listen twice so as not to put your numbers up on the podcast rankings. And
I feel you.
That's how we got beat by Vanguard Tactics.
But the real question is why do you always keep having cheats on your show? I think that's the question I mainly wanted to ask.
Been asked repeatedly as well.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? You got any thoughts?
I find him charming. I don't know. He's dreamy. He'd had some choicer words for it. He's been on the. What's interesting to me is he's been. So we're talking about Mr. Alex Harrison, who's been on our show, obviously, many times, because, like him or not, he wins a lot of tournaments.
Yep.
And he's always been great. I've always enjoyed his commentary. So I don't know. Just put that in your pipes. Smoke it.
I was really hoping to get more of a reaction there. I tried to provocateur that into nothing, it seems.
I feel like there's 40K villains that I, for whatever reason, I don't like, and 40K villains that I do like on a personal level, and Alex Harrison gets a pass by me. I don't know why. I guess I've never played him in 40K. I've met him a bunch of times, but I've never actually played him. He's usually way higher in the rankings than me, so I never actually have to worry about playing the man. Maybe it's because he always stands like this. So, like, he's just a little bit intimidating. He's got his Joe Rogan onions out.
My new favorite little side thing for you guys is, Pete, I know you consume a lot of content. So the thumbnail wars is what I'm going to begin to call it, because I've started to notice. So I've seen some people kind of stood straight on as a thumbnail, the person, and I've seen some at an angle. But I saw possibly, big shout out to Ace Face John Hickton, I saw him at a basically 90-degree angle on his most recent video.
Yeah.
Like, almost sideways. Like this.
No.
Like.
Oh. Like, yeah. So what is... So you have raised this criticism before. I don't quite get it. I need to find myself an example of what you're talking about here.
But I was wondering when the first upside down version of these is going to be. I think I might just do it on our thumbnail today from this show.
Because guaranteed, if you don't, Hellstorm's going to do it. They love to steal ideas, those crazy guys.
Wow. That's Okay, I haven't got any coffee around me, so I
what
guess
ideas?
I'll just drink my...
What ideas? What ideas? We're done. We're talking business model, production styles.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Actual other channels. I mean, what are you talking about?
All of the above. I mean, I said some really nice things about them last week, so I get to say mean things now. That's the rule. Like, there has to be balance in the world, and so I provide it.
That seems very, very fair. So, yeah, that's my... I'm just bringing up news for you guys that I've quite enjoyed. The other little 40K little nugget that I thought, Val, you're not a part of. So I'm sorry that you're left out of this. But, Pete, have you enjoyed me tagging you in all of the FLG posts that don't really seem to be related to Warhammer at all on Twitter?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Thank you.
All right, here we go.
Because I don't know how to use Twitter, so I can't follow them myself. So this helps. This helps greatly. If you could just tag me in all things I should see, you can be like my Facebook or Google. So that's like you can.
Is it too passe to be the real Val Heffelfinger, or should I just be V Heffelfinger? Val Heffelfinger 69?
VFA. I want you to have like a Mexican slash like twist.
VFA 69.
Yeah. VFA 69 is very good. But yeah, I've enjoyed that, Pete. Just you being there, so right. I can tag you in things. Has made me.
I was not lying when I said it's just like my Aunt Karen. Like some of the stuff that just ends up on there. I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, weird shit. And if you get on there, Val, then we can do it. Anyway, so let's talk. Should we talk actual 40K, or have you two got any news? Anything that came up this week that maybe I might have missed?
I hate how far I have to scroll to find my birthday.
I know. The same. I got so mad the other day doing it.
I just suck
so bad.
Thanks for ruining my morning, Rob, by making me sign up for Twitter.
Oh my god, I can't wait to get you on Twitter. I'm gonna tag you in all of the shit posted. My favorite is Tom. Tom's
pretty good at it.
Tom yeah. Savage. Probably. He's just like, probably. Lol, did you buy a Taunar recently? Lol.
It's good. It was good.
It's good. It's good. At first, I was like, the Taunar is still maybe kind of good. And then I remembered shield drones went up 5 points. I was like, never mind.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a good 350-point increase has helped every model that's received that. So,
Well, dickhead, it's about the same price as it was in the last edition.
No, it's not. It's 200 points more.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it was 1170 at the end of 8th edition. Now it's 13-something, isn't it?
Tau Chat was saying it was 20% higher. Brohammer
Tau Chat. Base cost.
You're telling me Brohammer Tau Chat's going to say wrong? Probably, but maybe not. Chat, how much is the Taunar these days? I think it's like around 1180.
I want to say, can I ask Rinaldi if how much it is, but also wish him happy birthday at the same
time?
It
was 892, and then it went up 340, so 1230 something.
Oh, right? Okay. Well, so that's one of the changes that happened yesterday. So there's some pretty sweeping changes yesterday to segue in. If you guys are interested,
Rob, Pete and I are bickering here. Okay,
I apologize. You guys. Okay. Do either of you know the exact number though?
No. we're both groping around in the dark. Although,
well, I know what it was. It was 892 with weapons, and then its base is now what, 1,004. 40?
It was an 892 with weapons because it would have had SMS on it, and that wouldn't have been
included
with it. Cost.
I literally looked at it when I woke up this morning because someone was asking me, so I know it was 892.
It was over 900.
It was 892 with weapons.
In 9th edition, it was over 900 points. I swear to God.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Why don't you check the app? That'll tell you. The 40K app.
No, because I think it's one of the ones where it has different point values depending on how many wounds it has. Because the 40K app does that, which is super nice.
Love it.
Someone got really mad earlier in the week. I think I can't remember who it was because they thought that Battlescribe had like had its stuff taken away, and they were sharing something from like 2011. Just being like really aggy about it. I think it was her minister, and I was like all ready to like. I was like, oh shit, we're going in, boys. Yeah, I was like searching. I was like, we're gonna kick the stream on, and we're gonna start saying swear like, words. And then it was like,
the window and blew your conch shell that you've been saving for so long.
But unfortunately, it didn't turn out to be true. So we rescinded. We travelled back. We put that hatred back in the box, and we just carried on. So it's good. Bummer, Bob Scribe's still there, which I'm very, very happy about.
Townar, 892 points.
Who said that? The chat? Did we confirm that in chat?
I'm looking at it in Battle Scrap. 892.
Oh, yeah. Now Battle Scrap doesn't count.
The all guy right. that always you're... fights for Battle Scrap.
Maybe.
This time it's wrong.
It's like
okay, MMB. Okay, MMB. I feel you.
Hey.
Feel you.
He's kind of a friend of mine.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, yes. I talk to him every day.
Yeah. Good.
I'm trying to re-engage the man.
It's hard.
Who do you talk to every day?
A man known by the initials MMB.
Oh, MMB. Major Mr. Balls.
Major Mr. Balls. We shall be known as Major Mr. Balls. Yes.
Okay, and Major Mr. Balls is in charge of Battlescribe?
Yes, no. He is. Intimately involved.
And in contrarianism, that's what he's in charge of. It's good.
He is very contrary. Okay. Why don't? Okay, let's stop subtweeting the chat and move on to another topic that I feel more comfortable talking about.
Okay, well,
I got Pete's probably wrong about the Townar cost. If I could just find the fucking thing, but I can't. Well,
I mean, if you give it a different weapon, it would be over 900. So you can do that, I guess.
Does it have SMS?
Yeah.
Shit.
892. It's 922 if you take the whatever Nexus missile potato.
So with two of the big ion guns and the big rail rifle, it's under 900 points right now.
I don't know if this helps. I'm not involved in this conversation. I need you to know that. Like, what are you trying to achieve? What are you trying to achieve? Like the point?
I don't know. I'm waiting for Twitter to send me an email to confirm my email address, and it hasn't come yet.
See, this is why we're
womp womp.
This is why we're 184th in Canadian leisure. That's the issue.
All right, let's move on.
Right. So some news yesterday. Obviously, loads of stuff. I think maybe let's blow the lead. Is that what it's called? I don't fucking know. Three wound Terminators. Well, that's what I'm gonna do.
Three wound Terminators. Two,
that's crazy. Two with two boots. Three wound Terminators, but not Primaris ones. Regular Joes.
Regular guys. This happened yesterday.
Yeah, it got leaked yesterday. GW has been sending out 9th edition packaging for certain units that are being purchased, and they're coming with 9th edition stats. And so someone got a 9th edition Terminator box, and they've got three wounds. Their heavy flamer is 12 inches instead of 8. Their power sword is +1 strength now.
Power fist is flat damage 2 now.
Yeah, and the chain fist is D3 damage. People are wondering if that was a typo. Because like it looked like the damage is inverted to what it is now, so who knows if that's true or not. But
yeah,
so they're gonna bleed out. So they're redoing. They're just gonna dribble out massive changes to every army.
Well, I think effectively the problem is the COVID, right? Like, so the packaging would have been ordered from China, maybe even as early as the beginning of the year or last year. For all the new boxes, and then they would
let me rephrase that. They're gonna dribble out changes to every army via codexes.
Yes,
that's interesting.
Yes, so I think there's gonna be which is super interesting from a structural standpoint, especially when they're doing things like changing the wounds value of units and the damage profile of stuff. It's a complete redesign, which is here. I am hoping we'll ignore the app team. Ignore them. We'll ignore most of the release as well. We'll put that to the side. And the guys that do points. Different box. But still me, hopeful as ever. Maybe they're looking at the internal balance of some armies and like the stuff that doesn't work. And they're like, this is off. Maybe this is something we could do something about. Like, Terminators don't really have a place when you could just do Primaris anyway. So maybe we'll give them three wounds. And they've got a different role and purpose. And I'm quite excited about that. Question mark?
It's interesting. I wish they'd just get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
At this point. I know it's not a pretty controversial thing to say, but we're getting to a point. That's basically what it is. So
yeah, there we go.
It's got like 800 entries.
And the mini Marines. Kill them. Kill them all.
Wow. Well, they did get rid of something. They did get rid of something this week, yesterday. But
several things, but one thing in particular.
One thing in particular. Val, do you know what the most important thing they got rid of was? A mega boss on a war bike.
Oh.
War boss on a war bike. Yep.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
But they brought back Sad Snark because he had been missing. And so you kind
of
still.
Literally, so there's literally nothing I'm convinced of in any of basically this friggin' mess of the chapter proof points. I think that they probably forgot that they meant to have the war boss in there, and that in the last chapter approved that they included points for Zad Snark and a war boss M bike in Forge World, because I think in their bizarre logic, they could only do that through Forge World because Forge World makes a war boss looking guy on a bike. But I don't buy that Warboss on bike is dead entirely. I just think they just keep ham-fisting their way through these things.
It's weird because they like literally just FAQ'd him out. They're like, it doesn't exist anymore. We're sorry, boys.
Yeah.
It's not like how some of the other stuff that just didn't show up in chapter approved, so people think it's legended, but they never said it.
They literally said it was gone?
Yeah, it says in the FAQ, removed Orc Warboss on Warbike.
Yeah.
Replaced with Zad Snark.
It doesn't say replace. There's just another line that has like added Zad Snark, the Ripper.
Added Zad Snark. Yeah. So they literally, I would suspect they just didn't realize that there wasn't another entry for Warboss on bike. That is what I would bet.
I'll be honest. I had this conversation yesterday that I started because I was so frustrated with certain things where we've gotten to the point where they've made so many little mistakes that I don't know what's true and what's not anymore.
Right.
Like, it's because they've done so many now. Like it's not like it's just like over and over again. It's like when they did the power level changes and released those yesterday. Are those all legit? I don't know anymore. Like I have to hope so, but like I can't value anything they say. I have an app that still calls Alpharius Apple Harius. But they updated all the power levels in it, so I just have to assume like that was their priority. They have stratagems that don't work. They have warlord traits in the wrong place. And they were just like, we'll fix those some other day. The easier thing to fix, we'll do that some other day. We're going to just add more content to it. But now I don't know if it's legit. I don't know. They actually, I'm super glad they put out a list of all the changes because I didn't expect them to even do that. I just thought they'd be like, here, we changed the power levels, go to town. So at least we can kind of assume maybe that's what it's supposed to be. But even then, I don't know anymore. Space Wolves are still OBSEC. Mike Brandt came out today and said that's probably not true. But I mean, that's lasted for a month and a half.
Can you explain that out to people, please? Can you explain that out to people?
Sorry. Yeah, I know. Okay. So when they released the day one FAQs, one of the things they did in the Saga of the Beast FAQ was they stated that Space Wolf units, other than servitors and beasts, all gain the Defenders of Humanity ability, which in the Space Wolf Codex is objective secured. So that means that the entire Space Wolf Codex has it now. All their vehicles, all their units, characters, etc. So they basically turned the entire Codex into custodies, because custodies have that rule, but only with their infantry and bikes. A lot of people immediately were like, must be a mistake. The Space Marine Codex has like a caveat for Defenders of Humanity where it says that it's troops only. So but Space Wolves don't. They straight up say it's everybody.
They say troops instead of infantry? Like it's troops only?
Yeah. But Space Wolves doesn't. It just says all Space Wolves Defenders of Humanity says is this unit has OBSEC, but then they only gave it to the troops in the Codex. So they kind of, it's just their way of not doing the same thing for everybody. They always have to do it slightly different just so that something like this can happen. So people said, hey, I'm assuming this is a mistake. I know playtesters were told. whether they were too busy because, you know, we're in the middle of an epidemic as or a pandemic as a whole or situation. But people were like, it'll be fact. Don't worry. So we got our second FAQ for that codex because of the problem with the MechBoy Workshop FAQ where they Facebook said you had to take it. Yeah. Yeah. So they added, you know, hey, we're sorry, we're wrong. Don't, you can just use it. But they didn't change Defenders of Humanity. So Space Wolves still have it. Now there's people that are like, okay, I guess it's legit. They had the chance. They didn't do it. So we're here to stay, boys. We already had a GT in New Zealand where they did it. They allowed the guy to have his, like, Wolfen and Impulsors have objective secured. That's pretty powerful when, you know, your super elite units that have a 3+ invulnerable save can just stomp around and take objectives from any random Joe. So... Mm-hmm. So this morning, someone posted it in, and Mike Brandt immediately was like, "This was an oversight. I wouldn't expect it to last." Good, someone caught it finally.
But isn't it's been? But is that not like the almost poorest way to ever like process this information? Like, you would assume there were lots of people giving them feedback, and this was one of those things. And
hope, but...
and for someone to be. And for Mike to be on Facebook saying, like, that's still, like, it's not, I never like this. So we have the same sort of thing. So Mike's role in 40K is not the same as a guy called Ben in Age of Sigmar, Ben Johnson. But he very similarly, like, in WhatsApp groups, because he's in all of the Age of Sigmar WhatsApp groups, someone will be like, there's this thing, and he'll be like, no, that's not how it works. And someone's like, well, no, that's exactly how it works. This is how it's written. And the whole community agrees that's how it's written. He'll be like, yeah, but that's not the one. And then someone will show someone at a GT. There was a GT where someone showed someone the WhatsApp because he was privately WhatsApping them and was like, no, that's not how it works. During the game to show someone. And I'm like, nope, we're not using that.
Has anyone replied to him? Also, like, just that's not how it works.
I did. In one of the ones, I was like, no, this is not how we're doing this. This doesn't work this way.
The only thing that reminds me a lot of going to the LVO and just everyone DMing Reese and like getting weird rulings, or like any of the referees you happen to know. Especially in 7th edition, it was particularly hilarious. And in the first. Year of the LVO during 8th edition, in which they refused to have their own FAQ. But I must depart and return momentarily.
Oh, yeah. Sounds okay. Good. Au revoir. Good luck, JVP.
Do you, booty boo.
So, Pete, like, are you annoyed at this stage by like what you're seeing, or like?
I mean, I'm always a little bit. Like, if you ask me the right questions, I'll be annoyed at GW 100% of the time. Yeah. For a company that I love to love, I also hate them dramatically when it comes to stuff like this. I don't know. It kind of comes to this weird disconnect we still have that could be easily rectified. I think back to Nova of last year. GW had just FAQ'd the fly special rule. It was the year before. So that it didn't... you ignored terrain all the time, but the way they worded it, you ignored elevation, et cetera, et cetera. And like within seconds, people were like, oh, so this means that if I deep strike on top of something, I can set up these 0-inch charges. And everyone was like, yeah, I guess so. That's what they're saying. Like, they're very explicitly wording it this way. And at Nova, this happened at the Invitational before the event. Juice, Stephen Four, a well-known player in the Invitational, deep strike a Smash Captain on top of a tower that's 9 inches off the ground because it was GW terrain, so this was on stream, and then proceeded to make a 0-inch charge into, like, this dude's backline, or, like, the juiciest parts of his army, and, like, wipe out 700 or 800 points of stuff. And I think Robin Kirachi was there, and he was like, that's not how this works. And, like, he legit just said it right out loud. and in between, when they were kind of off camera, Steven had to like show him. He's like, no, like, everybody understands it to work this way because it's very explicitly worded. And so for the rest of the tournament, that particular tower was considered impassable. You couldn't land on it or do anything. And then they FAQ'd it like 2 days later. But like that's it's just such a weird thing that we can get to this point where there's these like openly loudly yelled things about issues and they kind of get ignored. I can feel it a little bit because I know they get yelled at by there's a lot of noise. They get yelled at by about everything being broken. But there are some things like you should be able to have somebody at least that can filter that out and say, yeah, that's legit. That's an issue that someone should at least talk about somewhere. I also, and Kelly Wallace, who's the TO from Warzone Atlanta, brought this up, and I don't agree with him regularly, but I agree with him on this. I would love if in the FAQs, when they answer certain questions or they put out these changes, they explain why, because that would help a lot. If they're like, hey, we think that Space Wolves should all have Defenders of Humanity because their troops don't have it or something, and then you can be like, oh, so they just misworded it. That's not what they're trying to say here. It gives it makes it a little easier.
Also, you would know that they've thought about what the answer is.
Exactly.
Because one of your things is like, what are they intending, like in this situation?
Exactly.
I agree with that.
It would remove a lot of this like rules as written versus rules as intended issue that we often have, and then you get these fights online where people are like, "Well, you can't use rules as written. That's a whack play, guys." But it's like, but we only have the rules. And yes, I understand there are certain things where you should be like, there's no way they intended that. Like if the gun has 65 shots and it's on a 5-point model, it probably wasn't meant to have 65 shots. But you know, there are other things where you can say, well, I don't know anymore because GW has FAQ'd it the way we thought. And, you know, there were a lot of people that didn't think that way. So it becomes so murky these days. Anyway, well, they just need somebody that like filters all of the shit that goes through and then like and knows what's important. But I don't know how you would do that other than hiring.
I think it's just a person who consistently just does that job, right? Like he looks at a question online, goes to rules, like, and he has like an hour, maybe a 30-minute like Q&A session where he just goes in every day, like with one of the rules teams, sits down, goes, question, are Space Wolves all OBSEC, even tanks? Yes, no. No, that's not what we meant. Cool. I'll go write that. I know how to change that. That's fine. Is this meant to be this thing? Yes, no. Sweet. It's just, it's that easy, really, just to do that back and forth. The process is that they don't. But then sometimes to give them their due and to be nice about it, because there's always, hello, Doom King Tristan, your angel, and everyone else who's joined us live. Thank you very much for being here. You guys have been here now for 146 days, which is pretty wild. And big shout out and love to everyone in New Zealand, everyone on the Oddsworld Gamer Patreon. Couldn't do it without you. Got a new Patreon today. Oh, what's his name? This is my new favorite thing. Shouting him out one by one.
Good.
It's just nice. Nicholas A. DeMaria, you angel. Thank you. If I've said that wrong, I'm sorry. To give them their due to the Games Workshop is sometimes they answer questions which I hadn't even known were problems. For example, for example, they were with one of the secondaries. So two of the changes to secondaries was one to do with scramblers in that it had to be different units, which makes sense anyway, I think. And then one for the psychic focus, one of the secondaries, where you have to, it has to be a singular character that does all of it. And I was like, oh, like I read them as that anyway, but I didn't know that they weren't clear enough for that. And so they clarified that, and I was like, okay, that's good. But I didn't know anyone even had an issue with those. And maybe that's a problem sometimes, I think. Like, all the issues have to be group thought out sometimes, because it's a lot of data, I guess.
Yep. And they are talking to, like, two disparate groups of players, right? There's this, like, very casual side that maybe doesn't understand something that is basic. And then there's this like hardcore competitive where they have to be careful about their semicolons. So I agree. I do feel it. I feel for them sometimes. Like someone said in chat, hiring a technical writer is a big deal. That's super helpful because it would fix a lot of these problems. And the other thing is having somebody that knows the competitive game enough that they can ask the right people if something's bullcrap or not, right? Like if you ask Mitch Pelham on a regular day what's broken in this game, he will tell you the wackiest shit. Just because like that's what he loves to do is break this game. So he'll be like, oh, you know, if you do this, this, and this, because it says this, now everything's invulnerable. And you go, oh, good to know. Good, thanks, Mitch. Yeah. Yeah. But like there are people like that, and they're super trustworthy. They're generally correct, and you can easily like weed stuff out with that.
I also think that there's a real... I know that they want the rule books to be nice, right? So you just want to see the rule and you see the explanation and that's it. But I really do think there could be just a compendium PDF that they just put online where they're just like deep strikes and they're like... And then there's just a page of like random natter. You know, it's not even really well, like, formatted. It's just like, no, you can't do these. You're always nine away. You always have to roll a nine unless you get some modifiers for pluses to charge. Like, here's a map.
That's kind of what Rare Rules is all about, right? Unless that's what we're talking about, and I just kind of made a fool of myself.
No, but yeah, it kind of is what they're going for, but it could be better.
Yeah. But I mean, just for everything. I just have someone just going wild on it, just like in their spare time, just like fucking banging out some whatever. Anyway, we were talking about some of the changes, and power level changes seems to be a significant one, because previously, last edition, well, I mean, that's not true, because I think, wasn't Deep Strike to do with power level before? Was Deep Strike to do with points previously?
It was at one point power level. They changed it to points by the end of 8th. So it became half of your points, and it still is. Power level is important for summoning and reserves and a few stratagems for every army. So demons, it's very important for, as the only army that really does any important summoning. Genestealer cults, a slight amount.
Yes. So the power level updates is fairly important for competitive play, for because you need the power levels to put stuff in strategic reserve. So some updates to that. But the one that I really liked was that I could bring 11 Cataphron Breachers back for 3 CP. So you can kill 11, and then I can bring them all back. I love that stratagem.
Yeah.
What do you think of that, Pete?
Yeah. I don't love it.
Oh, you don't love it.
Cheers.
I don't
need more things. Sorry, I need a water.
That's okay. Yeah, get some hydration. Val, how are you feeling about them power levels being a 64-page PDF that you're going to have to look through now?
Well, I mean, as we were talking about before, I mean, they're obviously, I would think, updating all that stuff into the codexes as they go through them. So that'll get fixed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I think that's fine. I'm not super upset about that. I am curious to see where it affects certain fun things, like being able to put like 90 grots in reserves for like 1 CP. It's less than that, but it's a lot of grots. I'd just be curious to see where the interesting edge cases are for where it like really impacts what you can and can't put into reserves. Like doubling back to that Space Marines thing, and the fact that it sounds like they're going to really change the way the army is set up and the way it works and the way it is. I don't know how I feel about that. It's actually kind of tripping me out a little bit, because like there's been the
still on Terminators.
Yeah, I'm back on Terminators.
It's okay. But, like, no, I'm legit concerned.
Yeah, like, you're both concerned. I like it. I also expect Firstborn to get
also,
2 wounds.
Also, this is also making me wonder if like the really weirdness of how lazy the points were in Chapter Approved is because they put all of their, like, this is what they did. Like, they don't like sunk costs. Like, they don't like doing one. They're like me actually on everything. They don't like doing one thing more than they have to on something. So I feel like they've been working on new codexes, and then they went back and said, oh, we need some adjustments going into 9th edition for the existing books. And they just used their formula, made a couple, and then that was it. And like, so I suspect that there will be significant changes to all those points values, everything, when we get the new books. Also, I would say that Lawrence Baker basically keeps saying this over and over on his channel, mm-hmm. which is that you guys don't, and like more so than like Reese or anybody else, like he is constantly saying, you guys don't have the full picture. You have to wait. And he has kept saying that even after everything's come out. And he's referring to codexes, I assume.
Well, we've seen 5 or 6 of the Space Marine ones that have come out, and they've generally been buffed. I'm being told by people that like certain static weaponry is way better in the codex, but that they're also going up in points. So I do agree, like there's probably everything's going to be completely different for Marines. We've seen some Necron stuff as well. Most of that stuff's getting like amped up to the extreme. People I know are pretty chuffed about Praetorian Guard now as possibly actually being a melee unit. so like there's a lot coming down the pipes. I'm concerned about the speed of the Codex releases in regards to this. I don't mind Terminators getting better. No one really uses them. They're outside of like a couple of, niche builds. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned because when you amp their power level like that, it makes other armies' stuff less special until they get a Codex. Because the first knee-jerk reaction when that came out was like, oh, my Chaos Terminators are getting 3 wounds. And oh, Custodes are going to be 4 and 5 wounds now base. And it's like, maybe. We don't know. Like, they can do whatever the frig they want. But like, who's to say that the Custodes or the Chaos Space Marine Codex doesn't come out for another 12 months or 18 months? So there's that concern of where does the balance go until then? And, you know, it feels like a big change. Like, the rumor that TAC Marines are also going up to 2 wounds is like, whoa, guys, slow it up.
Yeah, I'm into
someone
this.
Will stab someone in the stomach over
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I like, am this in. Is gonna happen. I'm so into it, Pete.
Because also, you know, if that happens, like, because I thought they were very clearly disincentivizing the old range. Mm-hmm. Because now what they're going to do, if they make the old range good or better, sure, guys, that's going to feel great in the short term. But when they legends all that stuff, not gonna feel great because there's gonna be a lot of people who bought a bunch of those Marines, bought a bunch of Terminators, all that stuff, and it's gonna go away someday.
So can I ask a question? So I'm assuming that you've assumed that what Games Workshop was gonna do was slowly replace each of the old Marine models with new Primaris ones, and then effectively sideline them and legend them, right? But eventually, you did.
Yeah,
but you don't know how much they think people love Marines. Maybe they're maybe they just planned to double the Marine range, and so have Firstborn and Primaris, and we're like, take your pick. What do you want, little fellas, big fellas? Just go for it. What's our product mix?
Like smiles, whatever.
Yeah.
You like them dressed like? Do you like them dressed like wolves? Do you like them as vampires? What do you want? What do you want? You got what you want, baby.
40% product mix, only Marines is what I expect and want. And I really
it's
do want
that. It's
already
there. I would say half the range has got to be in power armor. I might be wrong, but it feels like it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's kind of cool because I think Marines are fun. I also think it's an indication that probably there isn't going to be Primaris Terminators for a while. Although those are Gravis armor, kind of, in a bit.
I think that was the point of Gravis armor. I think that was like what they were going for.
But then also, like you said, like it's an exciting time. Maybe Mega Knobs with 3 wounds. What are you saying? Like,
already
about
3.
That?
There are 3 wounds.
4 wounds. What if they went to 4?
Like, what if they went to 4? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, gee, I don't know. I mean, the thing is how long is it going to take and what's the, who knows? And maybe it's all fixed. Maybe it's already fixed. They've already taken it all into account. A tactical Marine does have 2 wounds, but it's 80 points and no one uses them anyway. Like, who knows? We don't know.
Here's something that
I hate that speculation sometimes.
Here's something that would be interesting is if you increase the wound value of most models in the game, mm-hmm. You're going to increase the density of the models of the game. And you can also start to increase points again. So if you put more wounds on things, you can start to increase points. So therefore there's less things to move around, less dudes to roll for. So you get the same amount of wounds on the table in less models, which would be an improvement for the game. I am, unfortunately, my confidence in these guys has been rocked repeatedly in the last month. So I don't know if that's what it's going on, but maybe it is. And it just feels like maybe they shifted. And you saw this in the 7th edition transition where they just stopped supporting one game. The 7th edition game, like 6 months before 8th edition came out. And then they were all in on 8th. And then 8th sort of came into focus over its first 6 months too. I guess we were just expecting a smoother transition. And maybe some leeway should be given for COVID, even though I'm pretty sure you can work from home and do this. But, you know, whatever.
I think that's a good point because they basically stopped any support for Age of Sigmar at this stage, which is quite fun. So we're seeing that. Like, our app, like, talk about not updated. It hasn't been updated since March. Just with points. Not anything else. We just quickly change these points out, boys.
But didn't they change summoning for you guys? They gave you something.
We had an FAQ, some fun FAQ stuff, but not
like, you can't summon OBSEC troops. Yeah, you can't do like OBSEC or whatever with troops with the summoned units anymore. That seems big.
It's not comparable. Like, so it's more, you know how you have, like, you know, in Force Org charts where something's fast attack. So those battlefield roles, when you summon a unit in Age of Sigmar now, you don't get those battlefield roles. So it wouldn't be, comparatively in 40K, it wouldn't be fast attack. But we've got some missions now which rely on you having battle line, which is a Force Org chart sort of situation. So you don't get that. So that has changed some stuff up, but like not overly, not anywhere near as much as the most significant change that we haven't talked about yet. But unless you need to say something, Val, sorry.
Unless you're segueing to the Castellan and we're on the same page.
I'm not. I'm segueing to the fact that they have neutered huge portions of the army, huge armies, in that they've changed Lookout Sir quite significantly.
And this one's pretty divisive. That's a pretty divisive FAQ that came out. I know why they did it. It was for the characters protecting other characters. Not sure why they went the route they did. Not sure it's bad either, but they definitely really changed a bunch of armies.
The thing that made me think immediately, oh, nope, they didn't mean this to happen, is anything that has a gunner model that needs to be close to it to operate. For example, Thunderfire cannons, which, yes, I'm sure no one is upset about that, but a Thunderfire cannon, literally can't put it on the table.
So the thing is, almost every other thing that has a gunner has the artilleryman rule, except the Thunderfire cannon, right? Yeah. So they can't be targeted anyway because of that. That doesn't change based off Lookout Sir. But yes, the Thunderfire cannon, it is hilarious now that you can just pick off the Tech Marine gunner unless you bodyguard the prohibitively expensive now Thunderfire cannon that everyone bought three of at the end of 8.
It wrecks orcs as well. It's really bad for orcs because mech boys.
Does it wreck orcs?
It doesn't wreck them, but it does change that buggy list that was doing very well.
Well, you have
to play it different. Well, you can't have your Death Killer Wartrike protected by your buggies anymore, which was how most people were getting around. Now you're going to have to keep a truck, which, I mean, like Seth Oster's list from Warzone used trucks. He had truck boys, so that'll protect. You can't use buggies to protect anymore. And that was a list that was working really well.
Can we explain
the Ridge Runner list for GSC?
You can't use KFFs just near your mech. You've got an artillery placement with your mech guns. You can't just put your KFF near it now. It's just like, no, that doesn't count.
To explain the rule change so people that aren't familiar understand. In 40K, in 8th edition, you couldn't target a character unless they were the closest unit outside of any other characters.
Deep on this. So
that was it. So you could have like a company commander in the middle of nowhere, a little 20-point, 30-point model sitting on an objective. And as long as there was a scout that was also yours hiding behind a wall that was closer, you couldn't target him. In 9th, they changed it to you had to have a vehicle within 3 inches or a unit of 3 or more models within 3 inches of that character to protect them. The Lookout Sir rule from being targeted. So in a lot of the more competitive lists we've seen early for certain armies like Orcs, Eldar, etc., they were using Harlequins, a big one for Harlequins because they were doing very well off this. They were using cheap, and Drukhari. They're using these cheap small vehicles like Venoms and Starweavers that are like 6-7 wounds, 8 wounds to protect their characters as they moved up the board and allowed them to keep their speed. And the FAQ changed it so that vehicles have to be 10 wounds or more to protect a character. And so the big thing there, like what they were trying to fix was the way the Lookout Sir rule was worded, you could use 2 characters that were vehicles or monsters and use them to protect each other. Because the way it was worded, if you had anything closer, it didn't matter if they were within 3 inches. If those 2 guys were within 3 inches, you couldn't target those 2 characters.
Couldn't you do this correctly just by saying, like, monsters or vehicles, like character monsters or vehicles under 10 wounds can't block. Yes.
Like, yeah, like, they could have that... legit just said that. They could have just added that, but instead they reworded it. So maybe they feel like the buggy lists and like these Harlequin lists are too strong, which I don't know. We don't have very many results. Maybe they're seeing something in testing that we've missed, or maybe they just ham-handed it and went with like, this is the easiest thing grammatically for us to say.
But it doesn't impact Marines in any way. Like you maybe can't use exploits, like being talked in the chat there, Rabuti and Character Dreads protecting each other was a thing. But like, you're still going to have a bunch of intercessors and other stuff to, or you know, repulsors or whatever it might be that are above the wound cap. It really hampers. I think it really hampers things like orcs because you don't have Harlequins, Eldar. I was getting to those. Sorry. Yeah, I think there's a bunch of guys who like in the Harlequin book. Like, you don't even have anything.
There is nothing.
There's nothing
above 10 wounds. Nothing above 9 wounds. The Harlequin book. Yeah.
And then you just be like, well, I guess I'll put my very expensive infantry just out on the board. I guess. Like, who's going? Go on.
Based on the fact that they took 3-4 stabs at the independent character rules in 8th edition, I am going to say this was a, to order your dialing wand, please mash the keypad with your hand situation.
With your poke wand, yep.
Like, I can't, no, I don't believe that they meant to really screw with the rules interaction for, like, so many different units when it was such an edge case that they were trying to fix. Like, this could have been solved with one of their rare rule things. Like yep. they didn't even have to change the core mechanic. They could have just put it as an edge case, like where when two characters under 10 wounds are next to each other, this is what actually happens.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They didn't. I mean, they have done this before. They did this with the fly words, as Pete brought up earlier. They have just, they were like, smash captains are scary. Like, all fly doesn't work now. It's like, if you thought this
through. They legit broke fly like 4 times over 8th edition.
They also have fixed fly. They also haven't fixed fly yet in 9th edition on the charge.
Yeah, there's argument about that one. That's a definite one where, because of the way it's worded, it's possible you cannot charge over units, but other people are saying you can. That's a rules is written both ways, because it says
this goes back to what you were saying, like, right off the hop, which is it is so hard to tell what they mean right now. Like, normally I have a really strong, like, oh, come on, clearly they didn't mean that. And just the fact that space wolves are still entirely OPSEC just fully makes it hard to believe that they didn't in fact mean that.
To push over the other way, we also had Blast clarified. We had Blast clarified, which, to go along with this whole thing, we had Mike Brandt on Facebook today saying, hey, don't expect this to last. It's clearly an oversight. When the rulebook came out, Blast didn't work as it had been described in the Warhammer community videos or by the playtesters. Oh. And
did it not? I honestly didn't know this.
Yeah, so in one of the Warhammer community articles written by one of the playtesters, they indicated that if you have a D3 blast weapon, for each D3 from the weapon, if the unit is 6 or more, it'll get 3 shots. So, like, Necron guns were getting max shots, etc. So that was in one of the articles. Reese said the same thing. He's like, yeah, guys, we tested it as for 6 or more models. If it's D3, if it's got... Thunderfire cannon, it's going to get 12 shots. We then had on, like, one of their videos, them describing one of the guns getting max shots on a 6-plus unit. Mm-hmm. So we had, like, 3 confirmations. This is how it is. We get the core rulebook, and it says it's minimum D3 per weapon rather than per dice on 6-plus models. So now a Thunderfire cannon just never can get under because it has 4 D3 shots. So people questioned it. They're like, hey, you guys said in a bunch of different places this isn't how it works. Is this just like a question of rules as written versus intended? And it came out in a couple places like, hey, we play tested it as, you know, 3 shots per D for die, except for like 1 or 2 testers were like, no, it's supposed to be 3. So we got confirmation now it is 3. I'm super glad that, we had to go through that whole thing of being told like in advance multiple times it wasn't. It definitely further devalues blast weapons, which is great because I think we will eventually move into a horde meta for a lot of armies. So it's good for them. They'll be able to actually not have to deal with certain bullcrap scenarios, but way where you're like, who do we believe anymore? I don't even know.
Yeah, and also the lines of communication. Like, I guess the other problem is they don't do, like, so a good example would be, like, this show. You know, like, we haven't been very, like point, and, like, we haven't done the point and then, like, talked through the point completely in all of its connotations. No, not at all. Nor do we ever, and I wouldn't expect us to. And even all of the other content creators, like, even, like, someone as good as Orspec Tactics, great guy, like love his content. But even then, even though he delivers it that kind of, like, dry point-by-point information, it doesn't really, like, detail every... like instance and interaction and all of those other elements. And I think what I would like to see from Games Workshop, truthfully, is I would like to see this come out, and then I want them to use their live platform to just be like, sweet, here's why, here's what we're doing, deliver the information, let's go. And then you just be like, cool, oh, actually, we've generated 400 questions or something from this. That's a great thing. Oh, actually, I don't know the answer to that. Great question. We can go back to the drawing board on that one, sort of a process. And then you just like, and then the information is all coming from the source, which is really, really what you want. And also now with ITC, like, subsumed into these mission packs, that clarity that we used to get from, like, Reese and Frankie and those guys, where they would just be like, this is the way. And the WTC guys as well, they were like, you know, I know for a fact that they'll have, for the WTC next year, they'll just have their rulings. They'll just be like, this isn't clear. Like, there's no way they're letting the Space Wolf OPSEC thing go. Like, they're just not going to let that be a thing.
No, if that doesn't get FAQ'd, they'll have something to say about it. They're already saying they're going to have their own... Well, I guess what they're saying is they're going to use the fortification rule as is, so you're just never going to run them. I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think that's good. I think that's excellent. But I would much prefer always it just to come from the company, ultimately. And, you know, I was really excited. Everyone was telling me Harlequins are really good. I was super hyped. I was like, maybe my Harlequins will get back out. And I'm glad I never started painting them.
I still think they're good. I think you need to ally in regular Eldar, though, to take a couple Wave Serpents or something. Or you have to completely play, like, super cagey now instead of balls deep. All in.
Mm. Okay. Well, yeah. I probably won't pick them up. I don't think I've got the finesse with the Harlequins right now to play with them.
It's definitely went way more finesse with this change. They were already a relatively finessey army, and now you have to play them ultra finesse.
Yeah. Mm. And I want to just throw Mortarion at people. That's what I want to do. Just sling him.
This is like, the way.
Yeah, just go forward, young man. Just start just scything people. That's going to be my plan. So I think those are all of the changes I think are covered. Some secondaries.
Fortifications change is huge. That's huge, huge, huge.
Please tell me about it. Why is it huge? Yeah.
So they made the FAQ to fortifications is you cannot place a fortification unless it's within if it is within 3 inches of a terrain piece that's not a hill. Because of how dense terrain is being built right now to meet like the GW standards in the core rulebook, which is one piece for every 12 by 12, so 18 pieces. A lot of people are actually like focusing right on that. Despite having a picture that shows like a properly built board with only like 10, it means it's pretty much impossible to put down almost any fortification. And the rule says if you can't place it in your deployment zone, it's destroyed. You can't put it into reserves or do anything like that any longer. So a lot of fortifications that had started to see play because GW essentially made them free from a CP perspective are just gone. Like Battle Sanctums, it's too big of a risk to play one for Sisters of Battle because it's huge. It's massive. And most boards, you're just never going to be able to fit it on. Spore Assists was a list a lot of people were talking about as being a legit threat from Tyranids because you can block a person into their zone with like just spamming Spore Mines. And it's a fortification. If you put that on like... MechBoy Workshop. If you put that on a WTC terrain, because they've released their terrain builds, there's a couple of the tables where there's just literally only one place you could fit one and still be outside of. So you just would lose all of those. It's a big deal for certain armies that actually were actively using fortifications that there's just no reason to take them any longer. Because it's just too big a risk unless you're playing it like Warzone, where they're now using like forests and that's it on your board. So,
I think again, this is probably a boo-boo, like not realizing what a 3-inch footprint really is, which is actually enormous. Which, if you look at the markers created by the Honest Wargamer, you can see how big a 3-inch radius actually is.
Yeah, our Age of Sigmar objective markers are genuinely hilarious. They're like pizzas. They're yes. 6 inches from the center. It's 12 inches around. They're just, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
Basically hard to be on the board and not on an objective. So, yeah, that's probably what it was. Like, a lot of these just feel like hot takes that weren't thought through. And I suspect that's what it is. And that it will probably get rein back in. I don't know why they didn't just... I don't know why they would do that. Why didn't they just use the rules of if you can't place the model, it's got to be as close to the close to your table edge as possible, whatever, like the way they treated other models that can't fit. And I suspect this will get fixed too, because I mean, they've already shown that they're bringing in Necron and Space Marine specific fortifications. They've made fortifications easier to bring, so this is likely, I think, much like the independent character thing, an oversight. Because they're, just not slowing down and thinking about these things for some reason, like taking the 5 minutes to get it right. Because like this, I can't imagine that these rules were consulted on by playtesters. Maybe I'm wrong, but like I just feel like they were instantly spotted by anyone who read them. Like the hot takes were like immediate on these rulings. So I don't get how they weren't caught, unless again it was done on purpose. But it is not. It's not the impression that I got.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Maybe a final question for you guys, because I know it's getting on. Would you guys like to see more faction terrain, not free as we once discussed, but as viable as any other unit, maybe in 40K is? So probably not that viable at all. Wolfenthunberry, thank you for subscribing. That's not how you say whatever your Twitch channel is, but love to you for subscribing. Would you like to see more of it? Like, there's some cool stuff coming out, so would you like to actually see it on the tabletop? Do you think that would be thematic, or are you not bothered?
That's Wolf Brother Nori. I'll take the rapist for 500. Anal bum cover. I think it's fun. I mean, as long as they're fun and interesting, like and honestly, the fact that it's obvious that they're going through and revisiting, rewriting, reimagining like rules in the new books, that's cool. That means that like all bets are off. It's kind of like 8th edition again, where every book that dropped was super exciting. I think that I'm just nervous because of how the execution has been basically since the core rulebook was released. And I think the core rulebook is fantastic. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's one of the best things they've ever put together from a rules writing perspective. Perhaps the best in a 40K frame of the word anyway. So I think it could be fun. Anything like you like use the word rules space? What's the phrase you use? Creative domain? I don't know. Basically where like fortifications create options to do fun stuff like the Feculent Gnarlmaw does. Most of these faction fortifications are just boring and useless. The GSC one, the Orc one, the Knights one, they're all just tremendous bummers. So hopefully that changes. Design space is the word I was looking for.
I'd quite like to see them. I think that they're fun. The MechBoy Workshop clarification is obviously hilarious. I think, again... I've ended up a bit bummed out by these changes. Going into this, I was like, these all seem okay, but like that one's a bit of a bummer. Like Orc Boss. By the way, the Orc War Boss on bike was one of the things I painted up over lockdown, so I was very excited to run him.
so coming into
you
the
can
last,
still run him as Zadsnark. Just do it.
Zed Snark's the bomb. Although Zed Snark, ironically, does not buff. Bike unit biker units.
No,
which is hilarious about him. But maybe he gets fixed in Forge World at the Forge World release. The really funny thing about the Mech Boy with a custom force field and the War Boss on bike is that they were things that were lobbied for in the last cycle of chapter approved. And like, so I heard that scuttlebutt coming into it, and everyone was wondering, because there were a bunch of things that when Legends happened, there were certain units that were lobbied for to retain. And those were two of them, and the playtesters didn't know whether or not it was going to happen until they actually saw the chapter approved book. And that's why I suspect it was just a change that to Zard Snark, we screwed it up. They forgot that they also meant to have War Boss on bike in there and Zard Snark. So again, that just seems to me like a sloppy error. I think we'll see the War Boss on bike back, because they definitely saved his life once before. And I would suspect we'll see him again. Also, just in general, Games Workshop, why are you the harshest about this WYSIWYG stuff with orcs of all?
of all the factions.
It's the only one where they're like almost 100%. If they don't make the model, they don't let you do it. And it's like the most kitbashed army that exists. But like, there's no Grandmaster in a Nemesis Dreadknight model. You know, that they literally have a White Dwarf article telling you how to make that, like, and kitbash it. Like, there are other examples where, like, the war gear doesn't exist. And, like, for example, when you buy a box of Intercessors, you don't got a Thunderhammer in there. You know, like, there's all these things. And yet orcs, if you have an orc commando unit, you can only run the knob with a power claw. You can't run them with anything else.
Yeah, that is
weird.
Which
is bizarre. I don't get it.
Is this why the Stomper is too many points? Do they hate orcs? Is this what we've decided?
I don't think they hate orcs. It's just
maybe that's why they made this change. Maybe all these changes were orc related.
Well, it's just orcs and tau are two armies that I do have some intimate knowledge of, because you know I play those armies and I see it. So like you can see sort of the weird, you can see sort of weird choices when you know an army really well.
Yeah,
and I guess they all have this. But there does seem to be armies which get like a lot of attention, and there's a lot of logic internally on them. Even the Marines, as upset as they make us at their power level and all that kind of stuff, they do seem well designed. And I own a Marine army now, although I'm going to slow my roll on building anything.
Buy those ATVs. ATVs are broken. They're so broken. I can't understand how they make those.
Are the points levels in the box data sheets, or are they just got power level on those?
Power level.
They got power level on them. But like we saw the ATV point costs, they're broken. Yeah. Everyone's already like, if they come out as the point levels are, like if they don't change them in the codex, there's no reason not to run max ATVs for Space Marines, because they're just too stupidly good.
The thing is what's fun about the ATVs is you can run them in almost any of the armies for Marines, and they do really well. Like, so
they're just under-costed for the ridiculous output. So hopefully they have a points change from like the leaked point cost that we saw coming into the Codex, because otherwise, wow.
Born Again Manchild with the GW know how to sell shit models. I gotta say here, Born Again Manchild, if there's any theme to this conversation today, is that there does not seem to be any rhyme or reason to the decisions that they make with like,
oh my
doesn't
god,
doesn't make any sense.
Val Heffelfinger, who are you? And
it's true, he's changed. Ninth edition changed him. He changed him completely.
Wow. I was like,
I've always said that there is no connection between rules and selling anything. Because they've only recently realized that there was any kind of a link between how good this game is and how many models they sell.
That's true. The best thing about this game is the community.
Yeah, I love it. And you know what? It's just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there. Like, with this, the other thing that sucks is that there's not actual true transparency. They're never like, by the way, you know, half of our guys decided to, start a band and leave us. We don't have anyone working here.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, there's never transparency on why things happen. It's a black box, and it seems like the community, which really, really cares, is always a step ahead of the studio, which seems strange. And maybe this happens in other fandoms, too. I don't
well,
know.
Well, I mean, I could relate this, but Pete's too tired, so I'm not going
to. No, relate it. I've got 10 minutes before I have to go to work. Well,
I could relate this to. I don't know if you guys keep up with Guild Ball news, of all things.
They just deleted it.
Yeah, but specifically, they blamed their community. The community were like, there are loads of problems with the game. We love this game, though. Could you please do these things about it? And then they went, lol, no, it's too hard to do. Fire the rules guy. Shut the game down.
Wow.
Shut it down.
Well, I mean, also, it probably stopped selling anything the second they re-released Blood Bowl.
I still think that they had an active community. The models are pretty sweet. Like, we all like nice models, and some alternate models are really fun. It was just to go into comparison for community management between the different communities. Like, you know,
yeah.
If
you want to be really disappointed in a fandom or like a community around a GW game, just go read some of the hot takes to the fact that there's a new version of Blood Bowl coming out. Mm-hmm. I have left every Blood Bowl group that I'm a part of because it's just insufferable garbage. Like, As much as I'd like 9th edition to make more sense to me in my mind, I am still so excited about it. I think it's awesome. I can't wait to get to play it more. I can't wait for the stupid COVID to be over so that we can start going to tournaments again. I think it's an awesome system. It's just like we expect something closer to perfection, and I know it's hard. So I'm always a bleeding heart on that front. But on Blood Bowl, they are just in the full Games Workshop is evil. They're trying to rape us for money. How dare they release a new set with new models? These guys are scum. It's such cringe to read.
I kind of like that. I kind of like that because it's have you ever seen this is going back to my Dorman days where like you would see a nicely dressed couple, let's say they come up to the door, you'd say hello, open the door for them, and they go sort of a situation. And then you just see the fucking bruiser, yeah, right, with the three lads, and you just your immediate reaction is like they come up and you're like, yes. And they're like, can we come in? The answer is no. Because there's no conversation. Like, there's no conversation. They're like, we would like to come inside. And your conversation is, you're not fucking coming inside. Both of us know this. You've dressed that way. I'm dressed this way. Are we fighting or are we not fighting? What's the conversation? And I sometimes like that. I like that kind of. And I think the Blood Bowl community are kind of like that. They're like, Games Workshop are like, oh, would you like to try this new tasty morsel? And they're like, fuck you! Like, you're like, maybe we should deal with this community a bit better, yeah. Otherwise they're going to bite
all
our
just
hand off.
Soccer hooligans.
That reminds me of the time where I like approached a bar like as if I was walking into a hurricane. Like, just, you know, like when you're just like friggin' horizontal, just swimming for your life to get through it. And the doorman, again, I just turned the corner, he's like, sorry, bud, can't come in. I'm like, what? I'm not even drunk. And like, he's like, you can't come in. And I called him a quote fucking meathead because he was gigantic. And he didn't rip me in half like a phone book because I didn't know that he was also one of my good friend's best friends who I insulted tremendously repeatedly because I was a drunk asshole. So again, I have no idea, Rob, how you did your job because drunk people are the absolute worst. And the fact that you're a sober person who's a DJ in clubs, also, I don't understand how you could possibly do that. I just don't get it.
It's because, this is going to sound really wishy-washy, people are pretty much, percentage-wise, fundamentally good. Oh. They're just...
Not true, they're awful.
They're just normally pretty fucking stupid. So it's just managing them.
Okay.
You've just got to manage them. That's my kind of...
Just treat it like kindergarten and you're okay.
Yeah, they're like we want to go in there,
but people can get pregnant. That's basically the difference.
They're like, we want to go in there and fight. You're like,
that's
not
really
okay.
All of life.
Yeah, it's all of life. Right,
can I do one thing before we leave?
Sure.
I want to ask Pete a pointed question, which is the Castellan build back? Is it back?
Ooh.
And the reason being,
it's legit. It's not. I don't think it's the busted thing like it used to be, but you can run with Castellan now that they've confirmed it's supposed to be at whatever it is, 635 for points.
I mean,
you can run it
don't
with
really
like
know the points levels, but we'll trust that it's lower. Yeah.
I think it's 635 now, but yeah, you can play it. It's super CP hungry and it's harder to soup is the problem with it. So, but I think it's auto take in any mono faction knight army for sure.
Guard Castellan would still be good.
You can run Guard Castellan with a Crast Castellan instead of Raven, I think, and it would have a legit threat because of you get much more melee power and you don't need as much CP. But for Raven, which was always the big scary bad boy, you spend so much CP every turn. You needed like 18 CP to start the game to really power it, and you're not going to get that in any longer. So unless you go Mono Knights.
Cool.
That's my take. So
I would like I would like everyone to know that Met Guns are back. I don't know if anyone's got the memo, but I'm really into them at the moment. But I'm also painting up Plague Bearers because I've decided I'd like to go to some tournaments and just bore the shit out of someone. Yeah.
If you want to play 60 Nurglings and like 90 Plague Bearers, you will make no one happy.
That's my plan. I want it to be like all of my relationships. Yeah, just that it gave progressively worse and end. That's what I want my matches to be like.
It's the darkest.
Based on everything we just talked about, I have no idea if I should undercoat this guy or and paint him, or if I should just stop what I'm doing with Marines and wait until October.
I think you should buy loads of mini Marines in a kind of like Val, like investment banker sort of like setup. Like
buy maybe a bunch of them.
No, not a bunch of them.
And then when they're bad,
yeah, sorry.
Merge them into a Nurgling base, and then you'll have Nurglings because they'll always be good.
Why don't you just buy them all? Nurglings. Why don't you go the other way? Buy them all. eBay, all the shops, just buy them all right now. Just all
Alpha
the mini Marines. Yeah, and they just start eBaying them at like twice the price. Just buy all North American stock of mini Marines, and they just start hammering them out.
Do you know how many, like, it's actually fascinating to me how many reseller companies there are, like guys who actually like make a living, pay their rent, and put food on the table selling secondhand Warhammer miniatures. And they are all sitting on mountains of unmovable, crappy mini Marines. And, you know, now they might be able to, you know, save a little for retirement. So that's good.
Let's see. I got to go, boys. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Yeah. Later.
Bye, Pete. Bye-bye. Loads of love. Val, we should both go. So,
LOL.
Yeah. Love to everyone. You got any shout outs? Anyone want to shout out?
Me and Pete might have a new episode of Stats Center coming. Yes. I was hoping to actually talk to him about what the hell we're going to talk about because there's no tournaments. So, hey, all right.
I know something I could tell you.
Okay, off the air. Why don't we brainstorm? And if it's a good idea, you guys can hear about it on Stats Center tomorrow.
Goodbye, everyone. Loads of love. Take care of yourself. Patreon, guys. Love you. Stay hydrated if you listen to the podcast. Twitch chat, though, of course. Thanks for the jokes. Fuck you, buddies. Have a great day.